Tom for reading God's word for us, and we give thanks to the Lord for the public reading of his holy word. To his name be praise and honor and glory. Amen. One of the delights, having served for a number of years abroad with the church as a missionary in Southeast Asia, and coming back to serve with congregations here in different parts of Ireland, was to maintain that commitment to mission and to see and sense what the Lord is doing in his church and through his church in different parts of the world. I was Asia convener for a few years and then convener of our overseas board for a number of years. That gave me the chance to travel to many different parts of the world, but the Lord had laid on our hearts for Joan and I from the earliest days that sense of call to ministry, Asia and its teeming millions. I had the privilege of going to China. It was the one place I always wanted to go. And I went to go to a conference to offer pastoral support to a number of people from many different churches across the UK who were working throughout China, but also to take part in a time of reflection for outside agencies, along with the church in China, as to how God was leading, particularly in the field of education and ministry in those days. I saw Kunming for the first time from 7 miles up. I had never been in a plane. I've been on lots of planes, but never one that had a camera on the bottom. At least maybe they always did have, but this is the first time I flew where you could not just see on a tiny little screen where you were, because there's a little white plane on a blue screen and it shows you you're around the Himalayas or whatever. But this camera was focused from the bottom of the plane down onto the ground. So from 7 miles up, you could see literally exactly where you were. Now, maybe all planes had that, but it really struck me, like boys and their toys. I thought this was wonderful. And to be able to see Kunming, where I was going, which is way off in the west of China, very close to Tibet. And it's called a garden city. It's very high. When we were there, it was 2 degrees at night. There was frost on the ground, but it was 20 plus during the day, and it was absolutely beautiful. And flowers and plants are in bloom all the year round. They call it the spring city, or the garden city in China. Now, it took me a little while, having seen it from 7 miles up, but I was so thrilled, and it kind of reminded me of the Lord who looks upon the earth and was sending me from Ireland to China, just as a very ordinary person representing you and lots of others, and our love for him and for the church in the world. And eventually I got, having visited one or two other places, and one of those very long train journeys that you must make if you ever get the chance to go to China. The only Westerner at Chinese New Year on this big, long train, and everybody came to see me. I mean, everybody. If there were thousands on that train, they all came. And I was lying in my little sleeper and got not a wink, because I was aware that they were all coming to see me. Who is this strange animal? And they have a special word for a red-faced Westerner, and I'll not use it. It's not a particularly polite word. One of the few words that I know in Chinese, because I heard it very regularly on that journey. But I got to Kunming, this big, beautiful city. Most of the time I was there in China with others, of course we were well looked after, which is a euphemism for you didn't really go anywhere on your own. You're always aware that there were people with you and watching you. But I went out on my own anyway to get a flavor of what was going on. And I met a lady. Now, she didn't know me from John or James or whatever. Maybe I, to her, looked like all Westerners. We all look exactly the same. Now, at that time, my hair was mostly white. I guess it used to be red. But certainly the face is the way it is, and we kind of all look a bit the same. Just the way, sadly, you and I feel of folks from China. They all look the same. I didn't know her from the teeming millions, nor she me. But I knew that she wanted to speak to me. I was leaning on a balustrade, like down at the seafront at Port Stewart, just leaning over, looking down over the city from a little park, and wondering, well, Lord, why am I here? And an opportunity to pray and to bless that city in his name. And this lady came sidling up to me, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? Because she's obviously intent on saying hello. And she said hello, and I can say hello back. That's almost the limit of my Chinese. You're probably like me when you go to a Chinese restaurant. It's written on one side, and you don't read that. It's written on the other in English, and you read that, and you order it. It's better if you can read what's on that side, actually, I have discovered. In a Chinese restaurant, always order what the Chinese order. That's a tip. Find out what they order, because that's the best to eat. Once we got past hello, I thought, well, what are we going to do? She was obviously wanting to say hello. Well, we'd done that, and she wanted to speak. So she spoke, and I just smiled. Isn't it interesting? A smile is, it's an international language. It helps. We should try it. Well, I know you do, and Ballywillan, it would help in many of our congregations. A little bit more smiling would help. And she smiled, and I thought, okay, this is good. So what's going on, Lord? What's going on? And she used, thankfully, one of the only other words that I know, which is boksu, which means pastor or minister. And I smiled again, and I said, thank you, Lord. That's a word I actually recognize. So I pointed to myself and said, I said it back to her. And she smiled again. And then she blessed me. I know she blessed me. I don't know what she said. But I know that she said it to me, and she said it up to God. And I know that she blessed me. Why did she pick out this random Westerner who was on his own and just come up and say hello and more, smile and more? I know she blessed me. And she got out a little piece of paper, and she wrote on it in Chinese, which again wasn't a lot of good to me because I couldn't read it. But I, as quickly as I could, when I went back to the conference center, the hotel where we were staying, and I got someone to translate it, and I still have that piece of paper today. And that's what it says, the Lord bless you. But I knew I had been blessed, and I knew that she was praying, and she blessed me. Now, that's why I was there, leaning over this barrier. I was just leaning on a barrier and looking out over her city. And I did what I hope every Christian would do, and certainly every Christian pastor would do. I blessed her back. I couldn't do it in Chinese. I wish I had. I'd studied for 2 months when I'd been in Singapore years before. An old elder in my congregation had taught me Chinese, and I, you know, I forgot it all because they wanted to speak English. That's the way it was. But it's a universal language. It's the language of prayer. And it's what I did. And I blessed her. And I blessed her church. And I blessed God who had given us that God incident, that God encounter. He brought her and me together from way over there to way over there. And he brought us together so that we could bless each other in the fellowship of his love and in the fellowship of the church. Isn't it interesting? What a smile and a hello and then a blessing. And I was able to speak peace over her city, because I know when that peace is found, it's found in Jesus. And I was able to speak grace over her life, because I know when that grace is found, it's found from Father God's heart through Jesus and all that he has done. And it's been taught into my life by countless over the years. I had such a spring in my step as I went on, and I had to speak at that conference later. And there's just stuff that you're able to do and people that you're able to meet, and you don't know them, but you're able to do what God wants you to do because you know. It's better than a camera looking down from 7 miles and seeing a city. God just knew where I would be and who I would meet. And he gave me the words to say, which are words of peace and words of blessing, to proclaim what those early disciples had to say. Jesus made it very simple. He made it very clear. Just go and tell people the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. You know that. You've seen it. That's what he was saying to the disciples. You've practiced it. Now go out and practice it a little bit more. They had a special anointing from the Holy Spirit for that task at that time. And then there would be more to do. 12 first, and then 72, and then to the church in Acts, to the apostles and to their friends gathered together. Go out to your own place, to Jerusalem, to Judea, to those round about you, to those you might not be so ready to go to Samaria, and go to the ends of the earth. And you and I don't know where we'll be leaning tomorrow, or maybe even today. It's a beautiful afternoon. There'll be crowds down at the front in Port Rush and Port Stewart. Lovely new shiny barriers to keep you safe, and you can lean on them, and you can lick your ice cream. But there may be opportunities with a smile and a hello and something more to bring the grace that you know, because you know it in Christ, and the peace that he spoke over his disciples. And then as he gave them the Holy Spirit, he spoke it over them again, and he sent them out as he'd sent out the 12 and then the 72. Just do what you see me do, and that'll be enough. But this is a hard calling. And I picked one of the many examples. Next week, if I'm spared and I'm with you again for communion next Sunday, we look at Moses and his life and how he was set free to worship. But his call was a hard one, just like Jeremiah's, extremely difficult. These were troubled times. The nation of Judah, they were on the edge of moral and spiritual bankruptcy. The abyss was in front of them. We've heard that phrase about life in Ireland in the past. They were falling away from God. That led them headlong into moral and social decline. Nobody cared about God. Nobody cared about God's way or God's will. And because of that, nobody cared about anybody else. That's what happens when we don't love the Lord with heart and soul and mind and strength. We don't love our neighbors as ourselves. Nobody cared in the slightest for someone who was going to come and speak to them. And that was the calling that Jeremiah had. And it was extremely difficult. And maybe you and I balk and feel, I cannot do that. Unless we know there is one whose vision is better than seeing from 7 miles up through an amazing camera that can pick out a city way down there. The God who has come down in person and who is present by his Holy Spirit and who sees into your heart but oversees and sees all things. Yes, the task was great and the times were hard. And this servant himself felt that he wasn't ready. And the first thing he was inclined to say was maybe what you and I so often are. I just can't do it. He had an excuse. His was, I'm too young. I not know what to say. But God had an answer for him. Mine, having retired just in May past, having not been well for a while, but having started to preach again, my knee's out. I thought I would play a lot of golf. My knee's out, so I can't lean down. I can pray sitting down, but I can't kneel anymore. And my asthma's much worse. Lord, I can't do it. What the Lord has been saying to me in recent days, but I can. It's still the same me, and it's still the same you. Yes, there's the joy of the resurrection body, but even this broken, beaten-up body, I can use you. I can take you to stand, and someone will come. I can take you out your front door in Port Stewart, and you'll see your neighbors, and you'll bless them. I'll take you down onto the promenade, and I'm always looking for people, not just people I know, but people to smile as I meet them. Because you know, like me, where peace is found, and you know the grace, the amazing grace that has touched and transformed your life. That's the message of the table. You will gather around the table next week. And so that Jeremiah could be ready, God spoke a very simple word to him. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before I formed you. The word of the Lord came to him and said, you are a divine creation. Maybe the Lord needs to remind you of that. You could be old and decrepit like me. You might be older than me and not decrepit. But you don't feel up to the task of blessing your family and blessing your neighbors. I'm done, Lord. And the Lord wants to say to you, but I'm not done with you. This word speaks of the Lord who created all things and you. and who makes all things new and you, because anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And this is a job that only God can do, and this is what God alone can do and does in your heart and mind and life. And he does it through the means of grace, coming together, worship and fellowship. He says, I formed you in the womb. I created you, and I'm still working on you. And so every day I can say, thank you, Lord. I spent most of yesterday in A&E, thankful for those who blessed me, and wondering, would I have the breath to be able to do what I had to do today? Well, the answer is yes, because the Lord provides. I am creating and making you new. One of the things that we were challenged coming up to retirement, and now into retirement, the church provides a pre-retirement conference, and we had the privilege of going to that last year. And it was lovely, and they do a lot of different things. They look at practical things, but they say, how are you going to be creative? Are you going to build a boat? They use that phrase. You probably heard it and maybe reflected on it yourself as you headed into retirement, or maybe it's in front of you. Something new that you will do. Well, Joan and I decided that we would find something completely new. So we chose dancing. A Presbyterian minister who chose dancing. I have to say, along with my wife, whether she put me up to it or not. And so we've just done a first little bit of the dancing course. It's dancing for beginners. It is way beyond that. It's far, far back. It's, do you have the courage to step onto a dance floor, which I'd never done in my life. Wasn't allowed to, was discouraged from doing it when I was a youngster. That was part of my growing up. And I have two left feet, and I don't know what to do with either of them. But we've discovered that you can go around the floor because you're doing it with 15 or 16 other couples. There are no cameras. Thank you, Lord. There are only people looking at us, and we're bumping into each other. I mean, they told us how to put one foot in front of the other and what the next step is, but they never told us, what do you do when you meet another couple who are doing the same, but you're on a collision course? How do you do that and still make it look like you know what you're doing? Well, maybe we do that in the next class. It has been such a challenge for us, and it has been re-creative. We're hopeless at it, but we really enjoy doing it. And that's what God does, and he was saying that to Jeremiah. Look, I know all about you. I know your uncertainties, but I formed you. I made you the kind of person that you are. I am thankful for my granda, who lived with us for the last 10 years of his life, and I learned to pray listening to my granda. He was a tiny little man, but he had a big voice. I think he thought the Lord was hard of hearing. Boy, did he pray loudly. I think that was because my granda was hard of hearing. That helped to form me as a youngster growing up, and to know the power of prayer and how it transformed my mom and my dad and six of us, five boys, five brothers. We went at it, cats and dogs, or hammer and tongs. It was good growing up. He formed us. And my mom, who was a saint, I don't know how she did it. Her hair was white before she was 30. I think it was a genetic thing, but we always said, no, we did it to you. And I think she thought, yeah, you probably did. And the Lord just, he does that creative work in our hearts and lives. And I have to be reminded every day, because I can find my excuses readily. 1, 2, 3, I can't do this. And the Lord says, but I can. Will you be open and will you be available to me? You are a divine creation. I have formed you, and I'm still doing it. I'm doing that new work, that new creation within your life. Just let me do it some more. Do you need to hear the Lord say that to you? I don't know whether you need to dance or throw your arms in the air or whatever it is. It's just something that's different in you. Let the Lord do that with you. And then he went on and he said, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You don't know very much about me. You know my name. You know where I served most recently. I've told you a little bit of my story. We've been in and out of this church over the last 20 years since we got our holiday home in Port Stewart. There's one who knows all about me. It's frightening sometimes to think about those who do know me, my wife, of course, and my family. BookBub that I belong to, every day, twice a day, BookBub get in touch and say, John Hannah, this is what you need to read. You see, they know what I choose to read. So they make recommendations to me. Amazon know what I buy, and they keep coming on every day with recommendations. Because you bought this, you'll want to buy that. And I'm thinking, what? And as for Google, they know everywhere I go. I have my phone switched off this morning, but when I switch it on again, when I go out into the car park, they'll know where I'd be. Would you like to recommend? It'll probably not be Ballywillan Presbyterian. It's more likely to be the hotel next door. They know where I'm going all the time. And when I sit down in the evening with Netflix, you switch it on, and the first thing that comes up, you'll want to see this. How do they know that stuff? And there's one who knows me so much more, intimately, through and through. And you're the same. Don't hide. Don't cower. Don't be afraid. But embrace your calling. Freely you have received, Jesus said to them. The kingdom, that there is a kingdom and it's full of righteousness and justice and goodness and grace. And that's the message that it's thrilled your soul and it's touched your mind and it's transformed the way you think and therefore the way you choose. Let it do that more so that you can give. And how? For the days ahead. Where will you go this week? Might not be as far as a jumbo jet across the world to look down on the world from 7 miles or whatever. It might just be to the end of your street or out to the shops or whatever, but you'll be leaning somewhere, you'll be in a queue somewhere, and the one who will carry you there is the one who is doing that new thing within you and knows all about you and loves you with such an amazing love and has touched your life with such amazing grace. And we will see the signs of that next week. And I call you as those who belong to Christ to prepare yourself to come again, to gather around the table. It's his table and the invitation is his. And those gifts and the gift of Christ are the signs that you and I truly know how richly blessed we are. And he will refresh us and renew us again at that place. But in every place you are during this week, he will refresh you and he will renew you. He will do that new thing within you. I will restore you and renew you and recreate you. And I know all about you. And he said to Jeremiah, so do not be afraid of them. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Don't worry about how thick your tongue is in your mouth or how short a breath you might feel you are. You can start with a smile. You can go on with a hello, and the Lord will give you that thing to say or to do, and it can be to do, because he told them, go and do the things that I have been doing. We were studying that passage in Matthew in our own church in Port Stewart recently, and one of our ladies had the temerity to say, why don't we see more of this in our church? Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. What a wonderful question. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Beaten up, broken down, yet made new, new every day, God's mercies. That's what Jeremiah said in the middle of Lamentations, a book full of tears and weeping. He's called the weeping or the mourning prophet. And in the middle of it all, he spoke of the mercies of God which come every day to renew. That's why I'm here this morning, worshiping with God's people, with an ordinary person. You know me, and you have formed me today in the midst of your people. You would renew me, and then you would send me out to stand here or lean there, but to be everywhere the person that you want us to be, for us to be the church that God wants us to be. Isn't that what Luther wanted to do? Here I stand. That was a strong doctrinal statement. All he was saying was, I've discovered God. I've discovered his grace anew in Christ. Here I stand in Christ. Here we go for Christ, because he knows all about us. Let us pray. For you and for your glory, according to your word, we are yours, O Lord, and we give ourselves freely for Jesus' sake.